Clontarf locals Nick O'Brien and Lorcan Byrne. They're cycling through 10 countries in Africa. It's 12,000 kilometres, all in aid of Kilbarrick Coast Community Programme and Orphanage Orlindi, Namibia. They've been sending us an update on their travels and adventures each week. And at the moment, they are in Sudan. And here is an update. It's episode 3 from both of them.
Hello, Johnny and Near FM listeners. Nico and Lorco here. Just giving you a quick update on our travels through Africa. So the cycling's going well. Sorry we missed last week. We have just crossed into Sudan and basically the bottom part of Egypt and Sudan. We had trouble connecting to any kind of internet. And so have
and
just...
And still are.
And still are. So just to give you an update on everything that's happening, which has been a lot. We're going to pick out one or two stories, talk about them, but first we're going to run through some facts and figures and distances. So last time we talked, we were in Luxor, and so that was in South Egypt. Now we are in North Sudan in a place called Dongola. Both are majority Muslim states. Sudan is a lot more, I suppose, reserved than Egypt, and the economy here wouldn't be as strong as Egypt's. The people are just as fantastic as people in Egypt, which we'll get into now. But yeah, as I said, let's just give you some facts and figures first. Lorcan, could you try?
Cool. So today is day 20 for us since we left from Cairo. We have done in total now about 1,750 kilometres, about 1,300 of those kilometres cycled. Since we last spoke to you in Luxor, we've done nearly 900 kilometres. Along the way then, we have seen a number of dead cows on the side of the road, a number of packs of tissues have been used, a number of chamois creams have been used, but we have made it to a rest day after 7 days cycling back to back through the Sahara Desert safely to our rest stop here in Dongola today.
So yesterday, our general kind of way we've set up, and we'll tell you why, we get up now at 5 a.m, so it's still dark. We pack down everything and we get back on the road, have a few bites to eat. What we have is like little crackers or biscuits. Put on some rip-off Nutella called Nugella, which costs about 20 cent, and some peanut butter. And yeah, we head off. And so yesterday in particular, we had a great day. We did 124 kilometers before 1 o'clock. So then we stopped into Dongola and took a break day. The heat does, as Lorcan said, gets up to nearly 40 degrees, 45 degrees. It was the hottest we've had to cycle in, which is just like a furnace. For our poor Irish skin, it is a struggle. And I think it's great to chat to the locals and say like how bad the white skin handles heat and how bad the white skin is compared to their lovely, beautiful brown skin, which is just, you know, they don't get flies, they don't suffer from sunburn. It's just so good. So it's always fun to talk about that.
Yeah, so there's a few different reasons. One of them is to avoid the midday heat, which is at its worst between 12 and 2. So we actually try and get most of our cycling done before midday and then try and rest through the hottest part of the day. But the other biggest reason is the flies. So we have been warned a little bit that there would be some flies and we should get a mosquito net. And really, you can't really understand just how bad they are until you are, to give you my specific picture, at a campsite at 6 p.m. just before sunset, running down the road, taking your mosquito net hat off and throwing it in the air, screaming, trying to get away from essentially 70 flies on your head, which is the situation that I encountered 2 nights ago, just losing our mind with some essentially next level amount of flies in and around our face at the campsite.
Yeah, to put it in maybe a bit more visual aid for you, you would be cycling with nothing in sight, the horizon. So we've come into a lot more desert since we talked to you in Luxor. It's just pure desert as far as the eye can see. And you'd be out in the middle of nowhere and you'd slow the bike down below 10 kilometers an hour. It's a bit like speed, you know, if you drop below a certain speed, everything just erupts. And so these flies...
A bomb of flies explode
out of nowhere. And it's essentially, if you can imagine flies who have not seen water in, I'd say, forever, and they see your eyeballs and mouth and nose, they just try to get in there, and it's incredibly hard. It's just hard.
The cycling's actually the easy part. It's 50 flies in your face when you are absolutely knackered. That's the hard part.
The other thing is when you stop, also the sun is so hot that you just it start melting and sweating. But again, when you're cycling, you get a nice stiff breeze and it cools you down just nicely. So literally cycling is the easiest part of our day.
Yeah.
We can't even eat our food. We can't lift our nets around our faces when trying to eat food until after dark because there's so many flies.
Yeah. I think one other story to mention as well would be kind of an interesting cultural exchange we had when we were at the border going into Sudan from Egypt. And that was we met an army guy at the gate who had was checking our passports as he normally does, and he, Nico has a very long, shaggy beard, which a lot of people have been commenting on, which is majestic and shaggy in equal measure. But the army man was commenting on it, and he was kind of looking at it and being like, tourist. And Nico was like, oh, tourist. And he's like, no. And I was like, oh, do you mean terrorist? And Nico elbowed me in the gut immediately. I was like, shut up. And the army man just kind of looked a bit vague at me and then stopped talking about it. And anyway, we sat down, got past the gate and sat down, and Nico was like, yeah, Lorcan, maybe in future don't say terrorist at the border to a new country. And I was like, yeah, fair enough, man. I just thought that, you know, that's what he said. And 2 minutes later, he came along with a video on his phone to show to us, 10 minutes long. And just before he gave us the video, he pointed to Nico and said, Muslim terrorist. Wow, he did say terrorist.
It was
really interesting though, because essentially he was making a very ironic and funny joke on the play of Muslim people with long shaggy beards unfortunately are faced with the stereotype of being considered terrorists, and he was making a play on that joke by saying that Nico was that person.
Yeah.
Which on one level was a funny joke for him to make, but on another level it was actually our first experience of a local person making a comparison between our two cultures. Everything we've done so far really has mostly been us experiencing their culture or asking questions about other people's cultures and making our comparisons back to Ireland with it, whereas this guy at the border was the first person to take a picture of our culture and his culture and compare it for us and give us his comparison of it. So that was really interesting to see, because the 10-minute video he had for us was Muslim stereotypes in the Western world.
Yeah, definitely. Just on that, I'd like to also talk about, I suppose, our travels there, and maybe if any of the listeners would like to think of Egypt or Sudan as a place to travel. I think it's easy to say for both of us that we'd highly recommend it. Really, really would recommend it. The people have been fantastic, been lovely. Once you give yourself enough time on the trip to adjust to the rhythm that's down here, to learn some words in Arabic as well, the place opens up, the people are incredibly nice. Part of the Muslim culture is to, for anyone who's traveling by, they all have water outside so people can just stop. They're incredibly open and enthusiastic about learning about new places and new people.
One tiny comparison that I think is a micro shot that captures it really well is that if you're typically in a very different country and obviously a tourist or someone who's not from there and someone says hello to you, your instinct is that they are going to try and sell you something or get you to do something or want something from you. However, when we've been in Egypt and particularly Sudan, the number of people just come up to us and say, hello, welcome, and shake our hand and say, welcome to Sudan, thank you for coming to our country. And they just say that and then just walk off. And it's like, oh wow, they really were just being like, hey, great to have you here. And that for me is somewhat of a new experience, definitely. Yeah. And a really, really nice one of just like a very genuine people.
Yeah, really, really beautiful. Small things are like the handshake is very different here. So they kind of bring their hand up high, bring it down to just a normal handshake, but they don't as in grasp the hand. It's more like just a clap, like a high five, but down low. Just things to note. I think it's just small things like this that is always funny. There's a huge tea culture here in Sudan.
On tea.
So we've had the Barry's tea, but I can tell you there's a strong contender here. So if nothing else, travel to Sudan for some lovely tea. It's really, really good. And the culture of just sitting and people watching is just fantastic. We were commenting earlier as well about the culture here and about, I suppose, the interaction of more elderly people in society. That they have, by what it looks like, they're out and about, there's a lot more on them, there's a lot more responsibility with them, and they're really, really interactive. They're a real key component of the culture. At home, I suppose, we also mentioned that elderly people are, but it's hard to say that they are definitely not in the same capacity of communication and people running into elderly people and chatting and stopping off and buying a cup of tea with them and really just going about it.
I think there's just more space for them to express themselves.
Yeah.
And they're more integrated and really being central to the character of the place. Whereas I feel like where we're from, it's slightly more conservative.
Yes, definitely. Conservative is definitely the right word. So that's it. Yeah, so there we have is just a quick update from our travels. As I said, all is going well. We've only had to use one bandage as well. I tried to open a can of tuna and slice one of my fingers.
Yeah. We've got 500 kilometres to go to Khartoum, which is the capital of Sudan. And also a massive shout out to the fundraising that has happened so far. So we've raised a little over 3,000 euros so far, which is amazing. And if anyone would like to donate any further or check out our progress on Instagram or on Facebook or on GoFundMe for the fundraising, it can all be found when you search When We Go South. But a massive thank you to everyone who supported us so far.
Yeah. So if anyone has any questions as well, don't be afraid to get on to us. We'd love to hear from people as well. I hope all is well back in Ireland. It's midday here now, so we're going to go out for a bit of lunch in the 45 degree heat.
Yep.
And deal with that. All the best. Thanks, Sam. Bye.
Clontarf locals Nick O'Brien and Lorcan Byrne, episode number 3, reporting from Sudan about their 12,000 kilometre fundraising cycle through Africa. Episode 4 at the same time next week.